This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you are listening to a special edition of the Kim Baker Show on the for Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 29th, episode 1093. See, I've just been running behind today, and now I got my notes in front of me, and this episode is brought to you by BioStar US. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here this morning. That's okay. We were having all kinds of technological issues this morning, too. So we're just having fun here in the studio this morning.
That's
well,
right.
Welcome back, Kim. Kim's with us the fourth Thursday of every month and has a very fun show planned for today. Before we get started, though, I got to mention the biggest horse news out there in the horse world yesterday was the new Budweiser commercial for the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And it is cute as a dickens and emotional and kind of cheesy, but then they all are. So, but, you know, it's going every horse person that, especially girls that have seen it, have absolutely loved it. So if you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out. I'm not going to give a spoiler because... Yeah, some people don't want to watch it until the actual Super Bowl, so I'm not going to do any spoilers. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought they got a lot done in 60 seconds. Let's put it that way. Told the whole story in 60 seconds.
Wow, that's impressive.
They always do a good job with their Super Bowl commercials, so
they
win
do.
Again.
They do. You know, I think the one, and there's so many, right? You know, that, like you said, the emotions that make you laugh and make you cry, but I definitely think the one where, you know, the guy was raising the baby and then he grew up and like that whole story, like all of us are crying on that one, but it was beautiful because that's why we love horses, right?
Well, that's Don Jeans. He's actually been a guest on our show and he is in this latest commercial also. And from what I heard from Jamie, he'll probably be back next week on our show to talk to us about making that new commercial. So
great.
We should have him back. Yeah. He's an actor, who does commercials and stuff like that. Super nice guy from the South.
Does he like horses?
Yes, I think. Didn't he say that he grew up on a farm or near a farm or something? I forget exactly.
My brain's telling me he was in a farming community and, you know, had horses in the backyard kind of thing. Yeah, but I might be making that up, you know?
Did not have five tails.
Well, we can just make everything up today, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, he was a horse guy. He bred Clydesdales. He has a little white dog.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing fake about him. Well, now you have, I saw here that you talked about on the last show and then also on the Stable Scoop show, talked about your Costa Rica retreat. How's that going?
It's going great. So I have two spots that are still open. So if anybody is interested and wants to escape the crazy winter that we all have been having, except for those of you in Florida, and you want to get away from being cold and all that, and you want to come down and you want to spend time with horses, some amazing horses, and check off some of your horse bucket list items like riding on the beach, swimming with your horse, riding at sunset, doing a moonlit ride, and just really connecting with your horse for the week, then please come to Costa Rica. So you can go to my website, which is KB, as in Kim Baker, naturalhorsemanship.com, and just scroll down and click on the Jungle Horse, and that will give you all the information about the retreat and how to sign up. And so things are, you know, filling really fast. It's March 15th through the 22nd. And it's very easy to get down to Costa Rica where we are going to be staying in a mansion. That's right, I said a mansion. We're going to have 5-star meals. There's an infinity pool. There's hammocks that overlook the beach. I mean, how amazing does that sound? Don't you want to be there right now? Except for Glenn and Jen in Florida.
No, actually, it was 33 degrees this morning, so it's pretty chilly here in Florida, too. Yeah,
that is pretty chilly, yeah. Yeah, so I'd love to have you guys come on the retreat. If you have any questions, you know, please feel free to contact me. It is just unbelievably amazing. You will not regret this. In fact, you'll regret not going.
And you said you have two spots left. So a husband and wife, two friends, whatever.
Whatever, exactly. Yep, can be husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat. Just sign up.
Your favorite horsey pal. Cool. Very good. So that's kbhorsemanship.com.
kbnaturalhorsemanship.com.
I always forget the natural. kbnaturalhorsemanship.com. Very good. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Ken Baker Show, brought to you by BioStar, we will start out with a reading of Chelsea's horse, Mitch. That's always most anticipated in the show. And then next up, Justina Lastly wakes us up to how dreams can provide important answers and messages that will affect your waking life. And then in the third half of the show, Jess LeBeau reveals why underdogs have an advantage in the sports and life. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, that's interesting. Right. You got an interesting show for planned for today. I love talking about dreams. I think that's the coolest. I just love talking about dreams.
Yeah, she is pretty cool. I read her book, and it's very fascinating. And I'll tell you, you know, when I was talking with her and reading her book, that I got some interesting responses from it. So when we get her on here in just a little bit, then I'll reveal some of that information of what I played around with.
Very good. Well, first we get started, though, and we have a lot to do. So you want to start with the medicine cards today?
Yeah, so I just pulled the wild boar, and wild boar stands for confrontation. You ready for this, Gwen?
No, I'm not. I am not ready for this. We're going to do something else.
So if the wild boar has charged into your cards today, you are being asked to confront anything or anybody that you have been avoiding. Pay attention. Enhance your warrior nature and find the courage to confront your fears. Or are you being asked to confront a personal weakness or a career challenge? It is time to finish a project that you have abandoned thinking it might be too difficult to accomplish. Confront your feelings regarding some situation that makes you nervous or causes discomfort and brings yourself the peace of closure. If you've been procrastinating, wild boar is reminding you to quit avoiding the inevitable. In all cases, it is insisting that you be fully present and mindful of what is happening and why. Horses are great at teaching us this. If you drew this card, you already possess the courage needed to confront all that life offers. Just remember where you hid that courage. Challenges do not simply vanish unless you actively embrace your issues. You cannot reclaim your spirit's energy. Half the battle is won through the warrior's willingness to acknowledge and accept the whole truth at all times.
You know, that is, it does fit a wild boar because they just sort of go nonstop, you know, and crash through everything. They just, there's nothing subtle there. So,
no, you're right.
Yeah, it kind of does fit. Yeah, really cool.
It does.
And your inspirational message, I'll try not to be confrontational today, okay? I'll do my best. Inspirational message.
Okay, inspirational message is change your thoughts and you change your world. And that is by Norman Vincent Peale.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah, you are what you think. And that's what, when I took sales training in early in my career and then taught sales for a lot of years, that was one of the things we spent a lot of time on because people, you know, and, you know, the power of positive thinking, all of those books. But, you know, it is true. I mean, it really is true. You can create your own reality that way in your mind.
Absolutely. And, you know, I found, Glenn, it's a daily practice. Sometimes it's an hourly practice. Sometimes
it's a minute by minute practice.
By minute practice, exactly.
Exactly.
So, you know, and that's one thing. A friend of mine, she's studying Buddhism, and you know, and I've read some of the books and stuff, too, that go along with the practicing. And what I like about it is if you screw up, then you just acknowledge, okay, well, I kind of stopped doing what I was supposed to be doing. And you start over. And you you accept it. You don't berate yourself. You don't beat yourself up. You just say, well, I stopped thinking positively. I kind of fell back in the hole, and now I'm going to get myself back out of the hole, and you just start over. So I really like that because, you know, you can sit there and go down that rat hole of just beating yourself up that you're so terrible, you can't do this, blah, 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 and it doesn't need to be that way. We all fall down.
Very good. And, you know, and then sometimes people fall down on the job of taking care of horses. And they end up for adoption at rescue agencies. How about that transition, huh? I just walked right into that. Look at that. So,
that's a great transition.
God, you would think I was a radio professional. So you have our adoptable horse for the day?
Adoptable horse for today. Let's see if I can find him. Or her, I think it is. Yes, it's a her. Oh, my God, she's so cute. She's a filly. Her name is Charlotte. She's very active, very spirited. Her mom, Hildy, who is also available for adoption, is an athletic mare, and Charlotte proves to have a lot of similar qualities. She is halter, broke, and picks up her feet. I don't like to use the word broke, but that's neither here nor there. Charlotte is also current on their obstacle course training. She's available at the Dumfriends League Harmony Equine Center, which is located in Franktown, Colorado, and it is open to the public Friday through Sunday from 11 to 3 p.m., except for major holidays. You can see her photo on my Facebook page, and she, let's see, she looks like she's going to be a bay. She's kind of a darkish brown bay, not a black bay, but she's got a little white star on her forehead and no white stockings at all. And she is just the cutest little thing. She looks like she's got a great hip on her. So if you want to be do some athletic stuff, then away you go with her, and she is just absolutely adorable. So you can find out more information about her at DL, as in Denver Dumfriends League, .org, and just click on the equine section, and there she is.
Yeah, her name, again, is Charlotte, and she is cute. I'm just looking at her picture. She has a little half tail. She is so adorable.
Isn't
she really
cute?
Is cute. Yeah, she's very short.
Little couple. Baby!
Yeah, she is
a baby.
Yeah, she is cute.
We
yeah, she
the
looks
babies.
Like she looks like she'd be a lot of fun. What it, does it have a breed here? Or is it Heinz 57? Doesn't really say a breed.
My guess would be quarter horse or Heinz 57.
Ish.
Who knows?
Ish. She's quarter horse. So, yeah, she's really cute. She kind of has the rump of a quarter horse.
That's what I was saying. She could be a half-quarter worship. Who knows?
I hope Charlotte finds herself a home. She deserves a home.
Yes, she does deserve a loving home.
Well, speaking of loving homes, I know that the first guest we have on the line today is one of our listeners, and she has actually been on a show or two with us over the years, and it provides very loving homes for her little guys, and her name is Chelsea. Good morning, Chelsea.
Hi,
good morning,
Chelsea. Glenn and Kim.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing
now,
well.
Chelsea is here to do the reading today, and she's going to tell us a little bit about herself and her horse. But I just wanted to officially welcome you back, Chelsea, and it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys too. Well, I'm on today to have my pony Mitch read. He's a 11-year-old modern American Shetland gelding. I got him in the fall of 2013 as sort of a project pony. So I got him in a trade knowing that he, you know, had caused some people a little bit of troubles and, you know, was a challenging pony. But, you know, I like a challenging pony and thought, you know, he had been driven a little bit. So I thought, oh, okay, you know, we'll go back to the basics and we'll work through some stuff and get him sorted out and, you know, hopefully have a nice little driving pony when this is said and done. And needless to say, it hasn't gone as planned. So he's very anxious and nervous around people. He cribs like terribly.
okay.
And he's just very on edge with people, especially when you bring tack into the picture. So especially when you go to put a harness on him, he's very nervous and he's he's kind of hard to read. I had a hard time, like, kind of reading him at first, if it was a nervousness thing or if it was a, like, oh, I'm going to be naughty thing. But I do think it's a nervousness thing. And he was, you know, things were going well for a while. He was a bit on the thin side when I first got him. So, you know, we kind of just fed him and played with him for a couple months until I thought, you know, okay, he's got enough weight on him that we can start kind of doing things. And things are going well for a while. I did, you know, I hitched and drove him a couple times and things went well. And then last spring hit. And I all of a sudden had, like, this completely different pony. He was, even more distrustful. Things were going backwards. So I kind of said, okay, I'm not going to drive you until we can get through, you know, just standing still on the ground where he can't see me, so with the whippers on, because that seemed to be something he was particularly nervous about. But, yeah.
Okay, so I have some answers for you.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the first question that you asked was, you'd moved into a new facility, so you wanted to know how he felt about being there. And
yeah.
He said he's not sure about the new place yet. He is reserving comments until a later time when he's been able to observe everything he wants to observe. So he really hangs back and watches things unfold. You have him right. He's very distrustful and nervous, and I'll explain that later.
Okay.
So your next question was, is there a situation or interaction with people where he's relaxed, you know, grooming or handling or anything where a human is present that he can, you know, relax? And he said feeding time. He doesn't mind if you hang out in his stall or pen while he's eating. He actually would like you to do this more often. So it's just kind of being in his space and just being with him, but you're not doing anything with him. You're not asking anything of him. And this will allow, you know, his head will be down, so he'll be able to eat while he's eating. So that'll keep him relaxed. And then he just gets to be with you, and he gets to kind of assess you, and you guys just get to hang out together.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next question I asked him, which wasn't on your list, but is a question I typically ask, especially based on kind of what you're asking and what you've been seeing with him.
Yeah.
So a lot of his behavior, he has some body issues. So he has a headache, and he could use, you know, some cranial sacral therapy to kind of relieve some of that pressure. When was the last time his teeth were floated? Do you know?
I had the vet look at him in October, and they kind of said, you know, he's not bad, you know, maybe in the spring, you know, we usually have him out twice a year, so they said, you know, he could probably use it in the spring, but probably doesn't need it right now.
Okay.
But so we didn't float it, so I don't know when.
Okay. So, you know, some horses are more sensitive than others, and he's a sensitive guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes just a little bit, you know, will make them uncomfortable and make them kind of act out. So he told me that his left TMJ is really tight, his pole is locked up, and then as I looked at the rest of his body, so he could use a chiropractic adjustment as well, but if the teeth aren't correct, then the chiropractic isn't going to hold. So shoulders and withers are stuck, his left hip is out, he's got ribs out. He also showed me, and this is why he cribs, he's got ulcers. So
I thought maybe he did, and we treated him once, but maybe we need something more long-term.
Yeah, so let me, I'll email this to you as well so you have it, but give him, instead of, like, the chemical stuff, give him aloe vera, whole leaf aloe vera juice and chia seeds, and that's kind of a natural thing, and I've used it actually on my horses that have had ulcers, and it works great.
Kim, what ratio do you use there?
It's 2 ounces.
Okay.
Two ounces of the juice, and then the seeds are. Do you mix the seeds in? This is a homemade concoction.
I would do the juice first, and probably for him, Chelsea, you could probably do 2 ounces in the morning and 2 ounces at night.
Okay.
Twice a day for 7 days, and then after that, I would drop him back down to just the 2 ounces. And after two weeks, then you could add in the chia seeds, which is 1 tablespoon per day.
Okay. All right.
Put the juice on first and kind of mix that in, like if you give him oats or whatever kind of other supplements, or you could do Timothy pellets, make sure you soak them first. And you can just do like a cup or half a cup And then after all that soaked in, then you can put pour the aloe vera juice on, and then lastly you put the chia seeds, because chia seeds actually like expand to like 10 times their size. So
yeah, I eat them myself.
Yeah, so sometimes it's easier for the horses to eat them if they haven't expanded.
Okay.
The other thing is he doesn't like his name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he wants to be called, so I asked him what he wanted to be called, and he gave me Sundance, Medicine Bow, or as in Bow, like B-E-A-U.
Okay.
I don't know if any of those kind of ring a bell. I would just kind of sit with him.
The boy's
yeah,
got
I
an
had,
ego is what it's telling me.
Well,
I had changed his name. That's interesting, because I had changed his name when he came to me because his name was Stopper. And I
was it?
Like, yeah, it was Stopper.
Oh, you never name a driving pony Stopper.
Yeah,
that's
that right. That was my thought as well. And I said, no, this won't do. We have to change your name.
Well, you know,
so
I guess Stopper's better than Bolter. You know, Stopper's
yeah,
better than Bolter.
Right?
Yeah,
Fury or something.
But you're right, Glenn. He does have. He's very proud.
Is he? Yeah. That's
yeah,
funny.
So as we mentioned, he's distrustful of humans. So he gave me a little bit about his past. I definitely saw him being forced into the harness, you know, like they didn't prepare him at all. It's like they slapped the stuff on there, attached him to the cart, and away he went. He's like, holy hell, what is this?
I suspected that was probably what maybe had happened to him, yeah.
Yeah, and they hadn't been really kind to him. Or really asked his opinion. He really has a lot to say, and he likes to be asked. And part, you know, it's a partnership. He definitely wants a partnership. He feels like he's been a tool, and that's not okay with him. He has many gifts to offer. You already know this. Go very, very slow with him. Just restart him from the beginning.
Yeah.
Just do it. Do him completely over. You know, you're reading him really well. So just be with him. And like we talked about, you know, you can do it at feeding time, or you can just go into his pen, take a chair and a book, and just go sit with him.
Yeah.
He does want to compete. He wants to show off his talent. He feels he's extremely talented. Like I told you, he's very proud. So he does. He does want to go there, but he needs to help him, you know, understand that this is okay and rebuild that trust. And that was pretty much all that he shared with me. So I hope that gives you quite a few answers.
Yeah,
and
it definitely gives me some stuff to think about, for sure.
Yeah, and steps on where to go from here.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
Chelsea,
thank you so much, Kim.
Chelsea,
don't
love those first ponies. They always cost you in the end.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. Although the proudness, I kind of takes me by surprise a little bit, but not, you know, he's a show pony bred Shetland, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised, right? I mean, he knows
about
stuff.
Right.
So we have to change his name. Name's now Mitch. We have to come up with something more clever. Sundance.
Yeah.
I don't know about Sundance.
Bovo, B-A-U, he liked that.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
that's short.
We have a bow now. That kind of went with Mitch.
Sundance, all I think of is, you know, he's going to have two six shooters on his hip, and you don't want that energy.
I know, right? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too.
I don't want my pony taking pot shots at me all day. So, yeah.
So
Chelsea,
funny.
You're getting into, are you going to be doing much showing with the little ones this year?
Yeah, I've got one, maybe two CDs on the calendar for Trouble, my other Shetland, and then one breed show on the calendar for that Shetland, and then I've got two younger, two terribly much yet, and I guess Mitch will probably go for Halter since he wants to show. So,
well, you know,
yeah,
a couple
shows on the calendar.
Kim, Chelsea is, she's my hero because she does so much. Are you still up in your PhD program?
Yep, I'm in year three.
She's in a PhD program. Get this, she's going to have a doctor, doctorate. She races herself. I mean, you're still doing, you've done marathons and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She shows Tony. I don't know when you have time for anything.
She's living life to the fullest.
Yes.
Taking advantage. I like to be busy. I know. I'm the same way, Chelsea.
it's fun.
It is. It's like, you know, we're only here a short time, so we got to take advantage of it while we have it.
Yep. The ponies kind of get the focus the majority of the summer, and then once kind of fall hits and the ponies get a little bit of time off, and then I race myself, and then it's wintertime, and we kind of go into training, you know, training in the indoor mode and, you know, training in the gym mode for me. So it's a good mix. It keeps you busy and keeps you healthy, so.
Absolutely. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for letting me speak with Mitch Sundance Bow, whatever name you end up with. He's really great, and I think that, you know, he came to you for a reason, and you guys will be really great together.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you again so much.
You're very
welcome.
Thanks,
Chelsea. See ya.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
She's a lot of fun. She actually co-hosted the driving radio show with me once when we had we were talking about minis, because she obviously knows that show world with the little ponies and the minis, and she did her first CDE here recently, which combined driving event with one of her smaller ponies. So
very cool.
You know how I feel about ponies, so you know I can't. One of these days I'm going to have to get up and visit Chelsea and see all of our little ponies up there in Wisconsin, but I'll wait till summer.
Chelsea, you need to come to Costa Rica.
That's right. Take a break from all that work you do. Well, we're going to, speaking about that, we have a sponsor, and that is our title sponsor for the show, and that's BioStar, and we have Tigger from BioStar with us every time, and she's coming up here. What are we talking, do you know what we're talking with Tigger about?
We are talking about hooves. And things that you can do to improve the quality of your horse's hooves.
Very good. And before we get to Tigger, I think she's on here. So before we get to Tigger, I wanted to tell everybody, if you want to do a reading, we do one a month of one of your horses or ponies, or your little minis, it doesn't matter. You can drop
a dog or a cat too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it could be dog or cat. Just drop me an email at horseradionetwork.com. I think we have the next couple months booked up, but we'll try and fit you into the schedule for 2015 at some point. So just drop me an email, Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. It is the only thing that I'm ahead on in my life.
I know. Glenn's like sending me 3 months in advance. I'm like, whoa.
It's the only thing I'm ahead on in anything I have ever done. So I'm proud of myself. All right. Let's talk to Tigger.
And now it's time for our Ask the Expert segment with Tigger from BioStar. Welcome, Tigger.
Hi, Kim.
So good to talk with you. And today we are going to be talking about hoof conditions. So the first question that we have is, can diet help support horses with poor hoof conditions?
Yes.
That's great. Tell us a little bit more.
Okay, that's it. Well, have a nice day, Tigger.
I didn't know if there was another question coming.
Well,
right,
that was the shortest segment we've ever done, Kim.
Oh yes, there's a lot more questions, but let's elaborate a little bit on the importance of diet in supporting hooves.
There are several really important factors when it comes to hoof health. Some of them are very commonly known as biotin, copper, zinc, and methionine. These are all important, I would call them cofactors. And they are important because they help the integrity of the hoof wall. They help build a better horn. None of this is accomplished in a short period of time. The hoof is one area where circulation is one of the keys to delivering nutrients.
Okay.
So if the horse isn't out moving around very much and the hoof wall is deteriorating or getting brittle and weak, one of the best things you can do is get the horse moving. Because matter what you're feeding, without circulation, it's not going to get to the foot.
Okay, so if they're just standing in a stall for hours upon hours, that's not a good thing to get, you know, constrict.
Definitely not a good thing to increase circulation to the feet.
What types of nutrient deficiencies or imbalances can cause non-ideal hooves? Obviously, standing in a stall, regardless of what you said as far as feeding, but as far as like nutrients and stuff, what would impact that?
What I look at is breed, genetics, age. Those three factors, and of course metabolic disorders, can really affect hoof growth and hoof quality.
Okay.
So for me, those are the first things to look at. There are horses that just, their genetic makeup is they're going to have crummy feet.
Right, and there's not a whole lot we can do about that.
No, we can support it as best we can.
Okay.
But if it's a genetic component, we're not going to be able to significantly change it.
Right.
But shoeing, whether you choose to shoe or you do a barefoot trim, how that's actually done, how the horse wears their feet, that also plays a role in the health of the overall horn and frog.
Okay, that would be some like confirmation stuff too, right? Like if they tend to roll to the outside and get flares on the inside or vice versa?
Correct, or if they want to land toe first.
Okay.
Or if they grow too much heel, or if they don't grow enough heel.
That makes sense. So like everything else that we've talked about and what we talk about all the time on this show is it really is going to be individual to the horse because there's so many factors that are involved. So it's not like you can go and just slap on some, you know, hoof dressing and life is grand. You're going to have the best feet ever. Mm-mm. There's a lot of other things that go into it. And one other question is, what role do omega fatty acids play in the nutrition of the hoof?
You know, there's not a lot of definitive studies on the role of omega-3s specific to the hoof. But certainly the anecdotal evidence from veterinarians and farriers and owners is that increased omega-3s seem to help a lot of horses hoof integrity.
Okay. So where can they get good omega fatty acids? I mean, I'm thinking of salmon. I don't think we want to feed salmon to our horses.
I got a fish for my horse now?
Yeah, Glenn, there you go. That's a whole story for you. Glenn's going to be
out. I got news for you. My horse is going to starve.
So flax seeds, chia seeds, camelina oil is a relatively new oil. It's a fall flax oil, and it has almost an ideal balance of omega-3, 6, and 9. So those would be my three top picks for omega-3 supplementation. Of course, fresh green grass, one of the best sources, but in the wintertime, it's virtually impossible to get. So it's always good to supplement with good omega-3 fatty acids.
I suppose, unless you're bouncing from one side of the equator to the other. Then you could probably get.
Yes, but you know, even in places like Florida, where you know it's a more moderate climate in the winter, the kind of grass that grows in this climate is not like a normal orchard grass.
Yeah,
a normal prairie grass.
You're absolutely right, and it's not as tasty either because the horses can take it or leave it.
So, Tigger, last question: what is your take on synthetic biotin?
Okay, so there's basically three forms of biotin available in supplement form. There's biotin that's made from the tar of coal. That's called natural biotin because it comes from coal. The FDA says that it can be labeled as natural. Then there's the biotin that's just made in a lab not from any earth source, shall we say.
Okay.
And then there's biotin that that's actually in the plants themselves, or in meats, for instance. Of course, those animals are eating the grass. So there's a plant source of biotin, and that's generally how we get it through food, and then made in the lab or made by coal tar, from coal tar.
Okay.
What the human supplement industry has stepped up is now biotin is available chelated or bonded to yeast.
Oh.
Increases the bioavailability of the biotin, and you can get, you know, larger milligrams, because biotin in food is in the micrograms.
Okay.
And most horse people, you know, are looking for biotin anywhere from 10 milligrams. Get that amount per serving, it's got to be synthetic, or it's got to be made from coal tar, because it doesn't exist like that in nature.
BioStar just came out with a new hoof supplement, right?
Yes.
So tell us,
it's called
tell
Ultra
us about
Hoof.
That. Ultra Hoof, okay.
So Ultra Hoof is the first equine supplement to use human food state nutrients.
Okay.
So we use biotin, copper, zinc, and methionine bound or chelated to the yeast Saccharomyces cerevisiae. This is the top end of human nutritional supplementation is to go with food state.
Okay.
And we are the first equine company to use human-grade food state nutrients in any kind of a formula. But specifically, I wanted it for hoofs because most customers, they are looking for very specific targeted amounts of zinc, copper, methionine, biotin. And if I were just to get it from these nutrients from a food source, I couldn't get these levels. I couldn't get 20 milligrams of biotin. I couldn't get 150 milligrams of zinc. Otherwise, I'd have to. It would be, you know, it would be a bucket that was quite large.
Right.
You'd need a lot of scoops. So this is one of the big advantages, is that we can deliver high milligram dosages, which are incredibly high bioavailable. So you really get more when it's bound to yeast, because nutrients that are bound to any food, highly absorbable.
Right, which is what we want. We want the body to be able to absorb it. So, and they can...
And then we added, what makes this so cool is that we added circulatory foods.
Right.
So we added, you know, sesame to stimulate nitric oxide, and then we added this amazing little plant called hawthorn berries, and they are that plant is a vasodilator. So in order to get all these nutrients to the feet where we want it, now we're opening up the capillaries to help deliver the nutrients to the feet.
Awesome. So they can find Ultra Hoof at biostarus.com, correct?
Correct.
Great. Well, Tigger, thank you so much for joining us again today. We really appreciate all your expert advice. And ask the expert for BioStar US.
Okay, thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Tigger. Have a good rest of your day.
So that was our wonderful Tigger, full of amazing information from BioStar US. And again, that was Ultra Hoof, and you can find out more information at biostarus.com. So our next guest is going to tell us all about dreams. And Glenn is so excited because he loves the dream stuff. And I got to tell you, Justina's book was fabulous, and I highly recommend it. And she has a special for you guys if you're interested in picking up her book. But please welcome Justina Lasley.
Thank you. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. So good to have you. And my cat is just going crazy. So if you hear a little meow or you hear me yelp, it's because he has very dream studies and the author of several books. You facilitate your clients' rapid movement toward a more authentic, spiritual, and fulfilling life. So tell us more.
Well, I'm really thrilled to be here today, and we'll focus on animals and dreams. And I believe that dreams are so important for us as human beings in guiding us and helping us become all that we can be and reach our highest potential. And often people don't believe that they dream because they don't remember their dreams. And I say that often people believe their dogs dream and cats dream because they see significance of it before they even believe that they themselves dream. So it's fun to look at it from an animal perspective of dreaming.
Absolutely. And you know what? Horses dream. I have actually seen horses that horses have to lay down to get the REM sleep. So they can either have their nose to the ground or they can be flat out. And I have seen them dream because their ears will twitch and their legs will move just like a dog or a cat that's dreaming as well.
That's
well, now,
right. If my greyhound chases bunnies, what do the horses chase?
Well, you tell me, you're the horses, that's right. Well, there is more research, and I'm really interested in what they're doing to find out what animals are dreaming, like you asked. And what they're finding by doing brain connections and testing is that basically animals are doing the same thing in their dreams that they're doing in their waking life, and they're creating memories and learning. There's research from, I think they're called zebra finches, birds, and these birds they're not hardwired for their songs, and they have to learn their song. And what they found by testing, connecting to the brain waves while they're awake and learning their songs, and then while they're sleeping, the brain waves are the same. And the hippocampus, which is the memory area of the brain, is active in the same way in sleep that it was in learning the song, the bird song, during their waking time. And I just think that's so fascinating. And so they're finding out more for human beings, too, that this is the way that we memorize and that we learn things is by making that more part of our mental process in our sleep. So there's a good reason to sleep more before an exam or a test or something we're trying to remember.
So that explains why I could never cram at 2:00 in the morning. I always had to go to bed before a big test or something was due, and I had to get it done early. I wasn't one of those procrastinators that left it till the night before. But some friends of mine did, you know, and they still did very well in school. So I think it, you know, comes down to figuring out what works for your body.
For your individual self. Yes, and the same way they've done testing with mice running mazes, and they, again, connected them to the, you know, brain testing and watched them go through the maze. And then at night when they did the same thing and the mice were dreaming, they could actually tell where in the maze they were in their dream.
Oh, that's cool.
So isn't that fascinating? I want to hear, you know, I want you two to find out more about horses dreaming, because it would be really amazing to see what is going on. And a lot of that can be done through observation, but of course it's hard to ask a horse what the dream was, and it's not probably keeping a dream journal or anything like that we as human beings can track.
Yeah, I doubt the horses keep a dream journal, but I don't know, maybe they're chasing Glenn around. And they're having us drive the carts, Glenn, instead of them, and they're riding.
That's it. That's right.
And, you know, we have the same way, talking about horses, that we have horses in our dreams. So I think people are often interested in, why did I have a horse in my dream, and what does that represent?
Yeah, so, yeah, if you could tell us what some of the animals represent in the dreams, that'd be great.
Okay, well, what the most important thing when we're looking at what an animal represents in our dream is how we individually, the dreamer, is relating to that animal. You know, it makes a real difference that you two are very involved in horses, interested in horses, love horses, probably have, you know, ridden horses a lot. And that's real different from somebody who fell off of a horse at the age of 4 and they have traumatic experiences of riding or being around horses. So it's
right.
really important that the listeners pay attention to that and first of all, think about what do I feel about a horse? What does a horse represent for me? And so I would love to ask the two of you, what do you think horses would represent in your dream?
You know, I don't know. Glenn, do you dream about horses?
You know, to be honest, no. I can't remember the last time I had dreamed about horses.
Go ahead.
Well, what do you think of horses? What do you think? What makes a horse different than another animal?
Oh, well, that's like days upon days of conversation. I would say for me, you know, like if I've done some vision quests and things like that, horses are always
mm-hmm.
in those for me. As
okay.
far as and I've had some of my personal horses come to me in dreams a couple of times too when I've been seeking some answers.
Right.
When I was showing more, I would definitely do the whole visualization thing. Like before I go to sleep, I would visualize whatever classes I had coming up that next day and, you know, imagine us riding the perfect ride and was definitely connecting with my horse and obviously myself and feeling all that and firing off all the neurons that, you know, act as if I was doing it. So I have done that as well.
That is wonderful, Kim. And I hope people are listening to that because dreams are such a great place for practicing, as we saw with the mice and the birds. But we as human beings can really improve our skills by doing the rod, as you said, and practicing it in your sleep.
I think, too, that we're so familiar. We're, you know, our lives are around horses. I'm looking out at our horses outside my window here. So, you know, our lives are around horses. I think the dreams that surprise us the most are the ones that are so off the wall and have nothing to do with our own reality.
Totally
you
bizarre.
Know, right. They're like, you know, well, my co-host Jamie yesterday said, ask her about this. I had a dream, and her husband's a fighter pilot now, you know, a career fighter pilot. I had a dream that he was going into Walmart to get a job as a manager. So, you know, but it was so off the wall, you know, because he's so out of his reality. I think those are the dreams that really stand out for us in our minds, right?
Right.
Well, they are nightmares and things like that. I want to give the listeners a few words to think about horses before we go into what you're
okay.
talking about. Because, you know, you think of a horse and it's the strength and power, endurance,
freedom,
virility, sexual prowess. And, you know, it depends, too, on whether you're leading the horse or riding the horse or the horse is running over you. Or all these things are so important. And I go back to this because it will relate to the bizarreness of a dream, too. What is out of the ordinary? For the two of you, you know, it's ordinary to be riding a horse, or as you say, horses are out the window. But for somebody that lives in the middle of a city and they have a horse, you know, they're in a high rise and they look out the window and there's a horse, that's pretty bizarre because they're 20 stories up, and how can this horse be out there? So those kind of things catch our attention and really wake us up, where the things that are more normal in our life, we might just sleep right through it. So going back to the Walmart and the man in the Walmart and getting a job in a Walmart, I would ask this person who dreamed this dream, what is Walmart to you? You know, it's a big box, you know, kind of store. It's generic. It's put a lot of small stores out of business. but it's very easy to go there and find anything you want. So the individual has to come up in what that means. Maybe it's the place they go for everything. And then manager, you know, I hear the word manager, and what am I trying to manage in my life? What do I need? Maybe I'm ready to manage something that I've never been prepared to do before, and that might be represented by Walmart. And I will guarantee you, if I talk to the person, the fighter pilot, there would be an aha that when we started talking about and peeling away the levels of what is Walmart to you. Do you see how that works?
Yeah, and it represents something different. It's just, it's a representation. It's not necessarily the store. It's a representation of something. Maybe, you know, things are, you know, in flux right now. And, you know, it is so out of the ordinary that in their life that it just pops in there. Can I ask you another question, too?
Sure.
It's sort of related to this, is premonitions. You know, we've all had situations in our life. Everybody, you know, if they're being honest, has had a situation where you felt like you've been there before in a dream. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all have run into those. Is that something that you studied?
Yes. And we call that precognitive dreams. It happens more than you would ever believe, that people dream about things before they actually happen. Even in 9/11, there was so much dreaming going on prior to that about exactly the explosions and things that were going to happen. And it's real hard to explain and accept the fact that we as human beings have this ability, this psychic ability to know. You know, we are the ones that put the concept of time and space in our lives, and that today is Thursday, you know, and we know what's coming ahead, and this is 2015, and then it goes on. But in the dream world, things like that are not important. And that's why we can dream of something that was happened as when we were children, and something that's going on now, and perhaps something in the future, all in one dream, and it seems perfectly understandable in the dream until you wake up and realize, wait, that is impossible. But there's this whole world that is going on around us and within us that we can't really, it's hard to test, it's hard to get it on paper, and I don't think we're supposed to, but I really encourage the listeners to open up to it. And this is part of the dream world of knowing that we know things, of not knowing that we know things that we already know. It's amazing. I think you're so involved in animals, and I think that we really believe that about animals, again, much more than we believe it about ourselves. And this is how I actually understood that concept, because I was raised in a family that was all about facts, figures, mathematical equations that had to be proved, go to the encyclopedia, find the answer. And so this was really hard for me to get, that what you said of the premonition, of precognitive, of that I could know the best for myself. And one day I was at a conference and I woke up and I heard a bird singing outside my window. And it really caught my attention. And I thought, that's the answer. I respect birds, and my family was very much interested in ornithology. And so I understood that birds knew where to build a nest, where to fly, how to take care of their young, all of these things. And they never went to school, and they never asked, you know, to the librarian of how it worked. They knew it, and I knew at that moment that I had that within myself, and I wanted to find it for myself.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I talk about, you know, in animal communication, stuff like that, it's all intuition, telepathic communication. Everybody has the ability to do it. I always say, you know, it's like singing. Everybody can sing, right? It's just some people are way more talented than others at it. And so, you know, I think, I mean, I don't know, but you can let me know, Justina. I'm sure with the dreams, you know, the more, and you mentioned this in your book too, it's like if you have the journal and you start to write stuff down, and you'll start to see patterns unfold. And in fact, I read the entire book cover to cover and did some of the exercises. And one night I went to sleep and I asked a question, and I got an answer. I got a very clear answer in my dream. I woke up and I was like, well, I'll be damned. Okay, that's what I need to do.
Well, that is great. And what let's talk, tell the listeners what you're talking about. Well, I call it incubating dreams, and it's actually an ancient practice that communities even used when they had a community problem, that everybody would dream for an answer to that that problem. And so, Kim, you went to bed, you wrote down a question that
I didn't actually write it down. So
I'll write it down.
No, I cheated. I didn't do a journal and I didn't write it down. But I in my head.
Well, I'm going to encourage the listeners to write it down, because one day I had a great question and I incubated it. I did everything else. I went through the steps of thinking when I went to sleep, like saying the question over and over. I woke up with this incredible dream, powerful dream. I could not remember my question. So then I had the answer, but I didn't know what it was the answer to. So you were fortunate that in the morning you actually remembered your question and got your answer. But problem solving is huge in dreams. And Thomas Edison, there's so many famous people that have come to these wonderful inventions. Or songwriters like Billy Joel writes right from his dreams. James Cameron, the great director. I read an article about him recently, and the main thing that they put is that his dreams are his gods. He says he has never been so inspired for his movies as he is in the dreams, and solves the problems that he can't get. You know, how to portray something in his dreams. So people are using this. Entrepreneurs are coming up with products in their dreams. We have this wonderful gift. Every night, we're all dreaming 5 to 6 dreams a night. And most people are sleeping through it. They're not paying attention. And this is what I'm passionate about, is helping people wake up to their dreams. And that's the title of my dream. My newest book, Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. And tell them what they can do now.
Yes,
about
absolutely.
I have a special offer for the listeners, and they can go to my website, which is dreamsynergy.com, dreamsynergy.com. And if they go there and go to the book, then they'll see a coupon code. And if they put in Kim, K-I-M, the number 2, they'll get a discount on the book, and I'll autograph the book and send it to them. So I hope that they will take advantage of that. And this book is very simple, because I didn't feel like people were waking up to the gift of the dream. I thought, what is preventing people from doing this? And I thought, people are busy, they don't have time, they think it's going to interrupt their sleep, and I need to make it easy for them. So that is what I've tried to do with the book, step by step, how to do it, simplify the process, focus on emotions, characters, and belief systems. And if people commit to that and are intentional, they will remember their dreams and they will get their life will change. I have worked with people for 1 hour, and they say their life shifted so much once they realized they have this innate wisdom within. Horses know it. Animals know it. And that's one thing that animals represent for us in our dreams, is that intuitive nature. It's that instinctual, intuitive nature. Every time an animal comes up in your dream, I encourage you to see, what is the instinctual nature? Is it a wild beast? Is it a domestic? What is different? What is different from a cat and a dog? Think about
that. Absolutely. Yeah, and I do the medicine cards, which are based on animals and based on different Native American tribes, and that can also provide information to you too, like what the animal represents and kind of what their strengths and weaknesses are and how that might represent something, you know, in your life or in your dream or whatever you're struggling with or need answers to. So Justina, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And your website again is dreamsynergy.com, which is dreamgy.com. And you can get her book, Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. And you can put in the coupon code, which is Kim and the number 2, and you'll get a discount. Plus, she will personally autograph the book for you. That's pretty awesome.
That's great. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you for having
me
on.
Thank you, Justina. You have a great rest of your day.
All right. Jennifer is getting our next guest set up, which I'm excited to hear about it. While she's doing that, I wanted to mention that tomorrow, Jamie will be here, and Jennifer, I'll be traveling to Philadelphia for the American Equestrian Trade Association. Venter Elisa Wallace will be here, and of course she trains Mustangs and is very popular for that. So she'll be here tomorrow, and of course a really bad ads will be here. It's Friday. Well, do you want to take a break for a song, or do you have while Jennifer gets the next guest on?
Do we have a quick song?
Yeah, let's do that.
Is technology going to allow us to play the song?
Yes,
we've had some gremlins this morning.
I know. Let's try Templeton Thompson. I can't think of a better one than Girls and Horses after that conversation. So let's take a look.
Talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. She's got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls? What?
Well, that's right. That's Girls and Horses with Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Kim Baker on the Kim Baker episode, brought to you today by BioStar US. And Coach Jen is in the producer chair as usual. Well, Kim, I'm heading north to Philadelphia tomorrow for the American Equestrian Trade Association. On Monday, we'll be coming to you live from there, taking a look. We'll have a bunch of interviews. We usually have about 10 of them, taking a look at new products coming to the market in the horse world. And it's always a very popular episode, so we're looking forward to...
Yeah, new products, huh?
Yep. Twice a year, we take a look at all the new products coming out, and we're getting help. This time I'll be co-hosting with Colleen from Eventing Nation, who does their product reviews. So she'll be joining me on Monday morning for that. So that's all coming up in the next couple of days here on Horses in the Morning. And so now you, do you do much riding at all? Do you ever go up into the snow in the mountains of Colorado in the winter and ride?
You know, I used to have my horse in the mountains, and it's tougher because the way it is in Colorado is we'll get the snow and then it'll be warm. Like, it was 70 degrees the other day on Tuesday. Oh my God, it was way too hot. And so things will melt. In fact, like, my backyard right now is like a complete sheet of ice, and that makes it really tough, you know, to ride.
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes in the mountains, it's like the snow, all of it won't melt, but underneath it'll melt. So it'll be like, it'll be snow and then ice underneath, and,
yeah,
and that can be pretty dangerous. So it just depends. Most of us that want to ride year round definitely need indoor arenas here in Denver. And so that's just kind of what you do. But I do like getting out. I like riding bareback in the wintertime because it helps keep you warm, and the horses love to get out, and it is fun to go in the snow. You just have to be careful that, you know, your horse is in shape, because just like it's more work for us to trudge through the snow, it's more work for the horses to trudge through as well. So
very good.
It looks like we've got Jesse on the line, and Jesse is a Hollywood big screen star. He's from a remote island in Alaska and had dreams of being a pro basketball star. Now he travels all over using his basketball skills to entertain and inspire others to pursue their dreams and become successful. He has a book that's called Among the Giants, How One Underdog Pursued His Dreams, and You Can Too. So we're following with the dream theme here, but this one's all going to be about while you're awake. Welcome, Jesse.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so good to have you on the show. So, Jesse, tell us a little bit about your story so people can connect with you.
Yeah, I grew up on a little island in Alaska called Pettick. And on Pettick Island, there was no roads. There were no stores. There were no cars. It was just my house surrounded by the woods. And every day, just to get to school, my family had to take a small boat across the bay to town. And the town wasn't much there. There was 4 stoplights, about 30 miles of road, and then a fence on either end, and you were trapped there. So it was really remote. And
yeah, perfect for a kid growing up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was dark all the time, and it rained 13 feet a year. So I spent a lot of time in the gym just because it was warm and there was light in there, and it was something to do. And at an early age, I wanted to be a basketball player, but I was always the smallest kid, and everyone told me that I wouldn't be able to do it and I should try another sport. But that kind of just made me want to pursue basketball even more.
That's great, because I have seen so many kids that – their dreams are just crushed, you know, when a friend, a teacher, a family member says, you know, oh, you're too short to do that, or you're not going to make any money doing that, or whatever the answer might be. And I have just seen, you know, like the wind just goes out of their sails, and they're just literally crushed. So that's awesome that you said, screw that, I'm gonna do what I want anyway.
Yeah, I think we all face that a lot of times in one way or another, whether it's a sport or something else in your life that you want to do and you feel like it's unrealistic or people aren't supportive or you're just maybe embarrassed to have that dream or that goal. But you can either approach it as a, you know, a problem or an opportunity. And right. I like to look at it as an opportunity.
Absolutely. In fact, we were talking about that earlier in the show, that, you know, what you're thinking and how you're thinking, like, you can change your entire world by changing your thought process.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. When I go and speak, one of the things that I say is one man thought he could and the other man thought he couldn't. They both were right. And a lot of times people come up to me afterwards and they really, that really resonated with them. And I, like you said, I think it's so true. Like if you believe you can do something, then, you know, there's no telling what you're actually going to be capable of. But if you're the person that is limiting what your abilities are, then it's going to be kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, not in the good kind of way.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I don't know if you're a fan of Eminem, but his the song that made him me too. The song that made him popular. I love the lyric, the line. You know, it's like success is my only option. Failure is not. Well, he had a couple other choice words in there, but failure is not. I like that so much. It's like, you know, it just really, it's very powerful to me. It's very inspiring to me. And
yeah, no
think,
plan B.
Right, exactly. Well, and there was, what was the name of the other band? There was another band that one of the DJs here in Denver had interviewed, and they didn't have a plan B either. I mean, it was just, they wanted to do music, and they just pursued it, and they are very successful now. And so it's kind of a joke on the interview. It's like, well, they didn't have a plan B, so it's a good thing it worked out for them. But sometimes... Right, you know, you just drive forward with what you have, and you just make it happen.
Yeah, no, I love that, and I think it's all about taking action. And you like you said, there's no plan B. You get there and you burn the boats, and you're stuck there, and you got to figure out a way to finish the job. And it's funny, I do like Eminem a lot actually, and I've gone and scoured the internet and watched all his old videos of him when no one knew who he was, and he was in these crazy places, and he's the only white guy, and he's just going after this rapping thing and battling these guys. And
right.
If you have any spare time, you should go search some of these videos out, because they're like, what is this guy doing in this place? Like, he should not be there. It does not look like a safe environment for him, especially saying mean things about the other people that he's going against. Like, it doesn't seem like a smart choice, but, you know, when you go all in and you don't give yourself any other option, you find a way to make it happen. And there's another quote. What is it? Oh, jump and build your wings on the way down. And I think so many of us wait until it's the right time of year, and we wait till we have enough money saved up, and we just keep waiting and waiting until all the stars align, and pretty soon the opportunity isn't there anymore. At a certain point, you just have to pull the trigger. And I know in my life, I've done that several times where I didn't know really what I was doing, but I was stumbling forward, and I was like, well, I got to move here, and I'll live on this guy's couch for a little bit, and I'll just show up to this audition. And if you're stumbling forward, even if you don't know what you're going to do when you get there, but it's the right direction, sometimes opportunities and new things will open up that you wouldn't have been there otherwise, and you never would have had a shot for.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about the underdog and why underdogs have advantages.
Yeah. No, I think being an underdog has definitely been so beneficial for me and taught me a lot about myself. And the biggest thing that being an underdog taught me was the power of my own attitude. And kind of like we were talking about before, of believing in yourself, and in every situation, choosing to look at it as, how can I, this may be a negative, unfortunate situation that I can't control, but how can I look at this in a way that I can learn from it, that I can grow from it, and that I can turn on the situation and make it into a positive one? And when you are an underdog, you're normally going to face a lot of situations that aren't ideal, they aren't opportune, but you learn that, hey, I can turn this into a positive situation, or I can make this a situation where I'm just going to get bitter and give up without even trying and make excuses and blame other people. So being an underdog forces you to have more situations where you can learn to have a good attitude and learn to take responsibility. And I really believe that's the key to everything in life is your attitude, you know, and what you think. So that's the most important lesson that being an underdog has taught me. And I think if other people approach their life in situations like that, they're only going to grow and be better people because of it.
You know, they always said being number one is the hardest thing you could ever do because it is tougher to stay there than it was to get there. That is true because then you've got to stay there. And the problem is complacency, right? I mean, right, Jesse? That's a point you can get to when you are number one, when you're on top, is you tend to want to become complacent and you have all the underdogs down there who are working their asses off. Who are hungry, hungry in many ways, you know.
Yeah, yeah. They want to be successful and they want to eat.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure you've been down that road. I mean, you didn't have an easy start where you were. You didn't come out of basketball Mecca, that's for sure.
yeah, definitely not. Pinnock Island, Alaska is not known for its NBA turnout, that's for sure.
Let's talk about that though, because you're kind of you're an underdog in your world, yet you've kind of turned it around and now you've gone into speaking and using basketball to tell a message that kids will relate to. At what point did you go, I need to make this switch and I need to do that?
Yep. Well, I started to, after college, I went and played in college. And after that, I went to Hollywood and started doing some of the commercials in the movies and the TV shows. And the ironic thing is the thing that got me in the door for all that was my basketball ability. I started practicing all those tricks and it would catch the director's attention and help me book these different gigs. And that was a lot of fun. And it was another thing of like, okay, how do I do something that makes me stand out? And I realized it was doing basketball tricks. And I really couldn't do any. And so just like how I used to practice, my regular training, which, you know, I guess I kind of skipped over earlier, but after I had that experience of everyone telling me that I couldn't do it, I was like, all right, I'm going to put in the most work and I'm going to outwork everyone around me because I don't naturally just have the ability and the natural gift that some people have of more size and can jump and are bigger and stronger. So I started getting up at 5 every morning, and I would get in the boat, and I would take it across to town, and the janitor would open up the gym for me every single day, and I would go in there, and I'd practice, and so when I got to L.A. and Hollywood, I kind of turned that work ethic toward the tricks, and I was just awful. You know, I was awful at first, and I spent so many hours, the ball bouncing off my head, and, you know, it was usually at a gym somewhere, and so people would be watching me and looking at me like I was an idiot. But I knew if I could master it and if I could get better, then, you know, it could really open some doors for me. And I just kept at it, and eventually I just got a little bit better, and that was a little bit encouraging. And then over time I got better and better and have it down pretty good now, but can definitely always get, get better. But after I started having some success with these commercials and traveling and playing different places, and, you know, I got to play with Allen Iverson as my teammate, which was like a dream come true because he was one of my favorite players. I went up to Alaska and took a group of guys, and I had such an overwhelming response by the kids in the community that I realized I had a very special opportunity to do something more than just entertain kids with a basketball, because a lot of them looked up to me and wanted to, you know, follow up and kind of stay in touch and would write me on social media. And I had got that like all over the world in different places that I played. But for some reason, when I went home to Alaska to a couple communities up there, it really just hit me and was kind of overwhelming. And I realized, okay, I need to use this platform that I have to talk to kids and to share my story, because so many people can relate to being an underdog. And it was really an exciting time, and it really is when I feel like I found what my mission in life was. And that's to talk to kids and share my story and inspire and motivate with speaking and books and that sort of thing. So it was really, really cool and something that I'm really excited to be doing now.
That's awesome. Jesse, have you read the book David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell?
It's so funny you said that. I'm actually just looking at getting that one because I just read The Outliers. I saw, like, in the back, it recommended it. So, and I read, like, a sample chapter.
So, I started with Outliers, too. Absolutely love that book. It's amazing. And then I went ahead and bought David and Goliath, too, because it did have the little sneak preview in the back.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so I think you'll like it. I'll be curious to hear what you think of it. So for the listeners, David and Goliath is all about underdogs and why underdogs have the advantage and why David actually won over Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And Malcolm is great in, like, the research that he does. He really goes in depth into things and explains. And so I won't give it away for those that want to read it. But I did find, like, after a while with David and Goliath, I kind of got a little bored with it towards the end, but I picked it back up a little bit. But Outliers, I couldn't put that book down. It was really fascinating to me. Just real quick, it's like, so if you look at the bell curve, everybody knows what a bell curve looks like. And outliers are the ones that are, to the far left and to the far right. And why they actually succeed. And you talked about Bill Gates and there's like 10,000 hours. And even in Jesse's story, you can hear it where it's like he went, he practiced, he got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and he practiced every day. And so it's putting that time into what you love and how that evolves. And it talks about where you're from, what time of year you were born, like all these different things that come into play to, you know, just propel people on these like huge success trains and stuff like that. So it's a great book. But you have a couple of books too, don't you, Jesse, that you want to talk about?
Yeah, and I think that book was so fascinating too, like from the Jewish lawyers to Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Like he covered so many things and I was like, wow, this is really, it makes sense. Like people, you know, work hard and maybe have some natural ability, but sometimes it to be born time and from the right kind of family and better, if you Bill Gates or some of the people in there. So I thought that was really cool. I've been promoting this book tour that I'm going on right now, and I have my first book that just came out in October, Among the Giants, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been hitting bestseller lists on multiple categories on Amazon, and I've been getting amazing feedback almost every day from different people just reaching out online. And it's basically my story in more detail, and it kind of talks about the ups and downs, and I have 30 success principles in there that basically my life is kind of like a case study, and I talk about when I did apply them and when good things happened and how it opened doors. And when I didn't make the right choices and how that affected me in a negative way. So it's been a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to work on, and also a long process. So it's exciting to have it out and being able to set up a book tour and all this other stuff that go along with it.
Great. So Jesse, where can they find the book? Obviously you said Amazon, but what's your website?
My website is just my first and last name. Jesse LeBeau, Jesse LeBeau, LEBEAU.com.
Okay, wait a minute, Jesse. I got to ask you about something before we let you go here. I go to your website at jesselebeau.com.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to ask. I go to your website at jesselebeau.com because you get this question from every guy that you ever talk to.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, right there, a quote on the homepage. Great life lessons given out of an authentic journey. Jesse shares the keys every young person needs to chase their dreams. Heidi Klum. So did you meet her?
Yeah, that's my girl right there. That's my girl.
I didn't see that in the tabloids that you were dating her. I missed it.
I'm the boy toy. I'm the boy toy now.
Gotcha.
When we get done here, you have to go look up Heidi Klum. Carl's Jr. commercial, and it's funny, I just did a segment on the news up in Alaska, and the guy about lost his mind, and we had to pull him back in. He had seen the commercial with me and Heidi, and she feeds me a burger, like it's the takeoff of the Graduate with Dustin Hoffman. So she feeds me the burger, and I'm like, Mrs. Robinson, this and that, and it was the best day of my life. So, yeah, you got to check it out.
Let me ask you, and you don't have to be honest. You can lie. Was she nice? We always ask, was she really nice?
Well, I won't lie to you, and I'll tell you, she was amazing. She was so sweet, and just there was a certain amount of innocence to her that kind of comes off, and she would talk to everyone, and she was nominating people to get awards that were cleaning up, and you know, the people on set that do the lighting and everything. She was truly, truly a delight, and I'm not just saying it, she really was.
Well, you know, that's good to hear, because we hear so many of the negative stories. We always ask that question about celebrities, right? And we always hear the negative stories about how they bitch everybody out and they don't pay any attention to the lower people, you know. And so it's neat to hear that. So she's kind of the kind that walks on and you know she's in charge and she's there and she's going to run the show. Her presence is going to be there on the stage.
Yep. She definitely has a presence, and she doesn't let anything faze her. You know, she gets there so early to get, you know, the makeup and the hair and set up and the stylist. And when she came in my experience, she was just, you know, upbeat, talking to everyone and not so much running the show like she expected it to all revolve around her, because she was very receptive to, you know, not the criticism, but just the direction of the director and the people in charge. But yeah, she definitely had that presence about her of, I think a lot of times it's just a confidence. It's a humble confidence.
Awesome.
And she definitely has that. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yay, good things about Heidi Klum. You didn't bust my
good stuff
today.
Well, one got his Heidi Klum fix, so okay,
I
now I guess we'll move on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jesse, so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. Again, you can find out more information about Jesse and his book at Jesse LeBeau, which is JesseLeBeau.com. So thanks again,
thanks,
Jesse. Have a great day.
Good luck.
Awesome.
Have
so much,
fun
guys.
On the tour.
All right. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
I had to ask. It's right there on his homepage. It's right there.
Fair enough.
I'm representing the five guys that listen to this show now. I'm... Every once in a while, I have to represent them, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure if it was like, you know, Val Kilmer or Viggo Mortensen or Tom Selleck, we'd all be asking those questions too. So.
That's right. Yeah, would have been your job. I wouldn't have asked. What a neat guy, huh? What a nice guy. Super
nice
Jesse's
guy. Awesome. You know, I met him in New York at this media summit, and he stood up and told his story and did a little demo of his basketball tricks. And there was just something that I really liked about him. He's very authentic. I really liked his story. And so he came over to talk to me and I was like, yeah, you know, I can put you on the show. Absolutely.
Well,
so
there
awesome
you go.
Stuff.
That's terrific. Yeah.
Yep.
You
all
had
right
some great guests today. A lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And thank you to Chelsea. Thank you to BioStar for being here. And you have some other things you want to say here at the end?
Yeah. So thank you to our show sponsors, BioStar, authentic whole food nutrition for horses and dogs. KB Natural Horsemanship, don't forget, join us in Costa Rica. We've got two spots open, so please sign up. Building quality partnerships and lasting relationships from the ground up. Kim Baker, Animal Communicator, Animals Talk, I Listen, What Does Your Animal Have to Say? And Kim Baker Media, beautiful animal, horse, and nature photography that inspires you and feeds your soul. Be sure to like us on Facebook, The Kim Baker Show. Follow us on Twitter, Kim Baker Show. And our horse wisdom message for this month is strength comes from perseverance and continuing to put one foot in front of the other. And our closing prayer is, may there be peace in your spirits, peace in your hearts, peace in your life, and may there be peace on earth. Namaste. Thank you so much for listening. You guys all have a great rest of your day.
We'll see you, Kim.
Thanks, Glenn.